Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shahid, and I will be your host for today. This episode, we're going to be discussing a remake of a massive, popular kids franchise from the 90s, which is the Power Rangers. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of it all, I know it's been a while, so we do have some, I guess you'd say, housekeeping to kind of do for the show itself. I do have a comment to read today. It's actually a, on iTunes it says customer review, but, I think of it more as feedback. So this feedback is from Aaron E. Frazier. It's actually long overdue. I actually didn't see this for a long time. So Aaron, I do apologize for not getting to this earlier. But she left a great review, and I'll quote now. Shah is great at choosing interesting films to discuss and engaging guests to discuss them with. I always enjoy listening. Highly recommend it. Aaron, thank you so much for those nice comments. If you guys know, Aaron was on the show. If you go back, and you'll be able to actually find the show itself. So take a look at that episode. We discuss the movie Barinda and Broken Horses. At the same time, check out Aaron's podcast, which is Bollywood is for Lovers, where her and Matt Bose discuss a lot more stuff about Bollywood in a lot more educated manner than me and this show. But don't go yet. Listen to this episode, then go. Because, stay here. So moving on. Talking about stuff that I like. Like I said, this is the platform that I use to kind of share things I like. My recent jam, like I said, just like Aaron has her own podcast, it's a cool community of kind of Bollywood podcast-related themed sort of people here. I'm really happy to say that there's actually a new podcast out there right now that is, not as Bollywood-related so far. I'm working on changing that, with constant annoying feedback to them, basically. But this podcast is the Desi Geek Girls podcast. You can find them on iTunes, and they're basically everywhere else. Just Google it. And this podcast, just to give you a quick description, as per their iTunes feed, is hosted by Swapna Krishna and Preeti Chibber. I hope I'm not screwing those up. And they're two Indian lady nerds talk geek pop culture with some Bollywood thrown in for good measure. Now, that's the official description. Let me break it down for you guys what this show actually is. First of all, there's 3 episodes in, so you have more than enough time to go on, catch up, rate them, review them, retweet the crap out of everything they're doing, because this is awesome. I didn't think this existed before. Not to say that Desi Geek Girls don't exist, the Mary Sue, amazing site, like one of my favorite sites I go to every single day. But these are Desi Geek Girls, and again, I'm not being dismissive or condescending, by the way, when I say girls. In this PC culture, we have to go with what people self-identify as, and these guys are Desi Geek Girls, so calm down. So these guys are awesome. They talk about everything from books to movies to comic books, oh my god. And here's the part, here's the crazy part, like the things where they get even more nerdy is gaming. These girls are gamers. Stuff that I'm not even interested in, but I'm listening to one of their podcasts where they're going hardcore into gaming, and I don't think I've ever had someone. Because, it's not an uncommon thing. Most movie geeks, most cinephiles kind of cross over into that gaming world as well. I've never done that personally myself. I've never found an appeal. But listening to these two girls talk about gaming, mostly I think Swapna, if I'm not wrong. Again, if I'm not mixing up the voices. But listening to these guys talk about gaming, it's kind of like you get the idea that you understand why there's this crossover of film geeks who love gaming, because essentially, instead of watching a story play out in a movie, gaming seems to be the outlet where you get to be part of that story. And that's how, that's kind of how these guys talk about the games to begin with. Usually I've always heard it spoken of like, it's challenging, it's complicated, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But these guys talk more about being part of the story. They're talking about the characters like it's them, they're the proxy, and it's really cool. Check them out. Like I said, 3 episodes in, Desi Geek Girls, Swapna Krishna, Preeti Chibber, they're on Twitter, so go nuts. Let them know how much you love the show. And speaking of shows, let's move on to this show. Like I mentioned, this episode is going to be all about the Power Rangers. Now, if you don't know what the Power Rangers are, then clearly, you haven't been around since the 90s. You're not aware of the 90s. You don't know what's going on in that world. I don't blame you, because honestly, the Power Rangers have not a lot of pop culture significance beyond just, hey, Power Rangers. And you're like, that sounds kind of cool and kiddie that I might have heard of years ago. But beyond that, it's something that I grew up with, to the point where Halloween, maybe I dressed up sometimes as a Power Ranger. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny either of those things. But it's something that I loved. It was, you know, YTV. I think it was part of The Zone in Canada. I think in America it was Fox Kids Network or something like that. But basically, they just did a reboot in 2017. The movie just came out last weekend. It's a more realistic, updated, new generation Power Rangers reboot. So this episode 27, we're going to be discussing the remake of Power Rangers. So like I mentioned, we're going to start off with a very quick background into who the Power Rangers are for, you know, if you don't know who they are. First of all, I recommend this movie 100%, the new one. But just going back a little bit, this is a comparison episode. We are going to look back at the original. We're not going to spend too much time with the original, but we're going to discuss how it was adapted into this new movie. This is a spoiler-free podcast. I'm not going to reveal anything. The movie is a good movie. I want everyone to watch this movie, so there's really nothing to spoil. Anyways, this is not the kind of movie where it's big plot twists or anything. It's just done well, and you just have to kind of experience it. But we'll get into those things later. The Power Rangers. Essentially a franchise based on a Japanese sort of show known as Super Sentai. And the American version was the Power Rangers. Originally, the first iteration was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which was essentially about, you know, an alien force coming to Earth and, you know, kind of threatening to destroy the world. And in response, this other alien force or power have to find teenagers with attitude. That was the log line. They have to find teenagers with attitude. That's not something I'm inserting. But teenagers with attitude, basically. It's the 90s, right? Who essentially are good-hearted kids, but also badass enough to be given powers to save the world from this evil threat. It sounds terrible. But it's a basic premise. And the coolest part about this, basically, is that you have these high school teenagers, martial artists, and if not, then they magically become martial artists, who get powers. These powers allow them to morph or transform into these awesome costumed heroes, each with their own color scheme. They each have a dinosaur power sort of thing, weapons that kind of suit their personality, and also, the best thing about it is they have Zords, which is their own personalized robot fighting machines, which Voltron style will combine together to form a Mega Zord. So again, I know I'm not doing the best job of representing the original show. I know it sounds shitty and cheesy and all those things, but it was, to a point, it was really cheesy. But for whatever reason, and again, and I'm not trading on nostalgia here. I've gone back and I've watched all these, shows, and there is an element of fun. There is an element of cheesy, harmless, after-school special fun. You might not be paying attention during the series. You might not be watching, but you definitely want to see how it began, how it ended, who, you know, where the emotional conclusion came about from, and things like that. So it was a series worth watching. Now, the cool thing about the Power Rangers, just getting back to the background of it all again, after the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, essentially, the seasons saw a shift. So after the first three seasons, I believe, of this storyline with this characters, the cast changed very minutely. Some people went away, some people came back. And it wasn't until later where essentially there was a shift in the story of these powers changing into other powers. They have to get other sort of similarly Power Ranger-related powers. That happened a few times until they just stopped continuing the story. So then every season became a standalone reboot of the entire series with new cast members, new conflicts, new villains, new bad guys, new good guys, new themed powers. You had Power Rangers in space. You had Power Rangers Turbo, which was instead of dinosaur Zords, it's all cars. You had Samurai Power Rangers. You had Underwater Power Rangers. You had Alien Power Rangers. So just to give an idea of how massive this thing gets, debuting from 1993 till I believe there is a current iteration or one very close to maybe last year or something. Actually, as of 2017, there have been 24 television seasons of 20 different themed series of the Power Rangers and two theatrical films. The third one would be the one that just came out last week. Now, this show has gone through so many different changes and iterations that at one time the rights were even with Disney. That's right. Disney, our MCU, Marvel, Star Wars, you know, mega studio, had the rights to the Power Rangers. And I think it played, some version of the show played for some years on the Disney XD channel, if I'm not too mistaken. But eventually the rights came back to the guy who bought it from Japanese American rights, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so now we have this reboot from the original guy who did the 1993 version. And despite their cheesiness, there are certain things the Power Rangers did, even in the 90s. Which was really cool, and kind of at the time, not you didn't get that a lot. So, for example, again, like I said, a lot of it was after school, especially. A lot of it had, you know, a lot of the episodes and shows had social messages. You know, don't litter, stay in school, study hard. You know, don't talk to strangers. You know, just a lot of cheesy stuff. But the cool thing was, it was worked into the story. The story about evil aliens taking over the Earth, five kids with martial arts having to fight them, then transform into their suits, fight more bad guys, then get into their robots and fight larger monsters. This weird, crazy, action-y story adventure had subplots that were really socially cool. And like, for example, you know, the kids were shown as activists. They weren't just, you know, the most popular. They weren't just the most active. They weren't goody-goodies, which, well, they were. But they were activists. They would do, you know, litter drives, and they would do fundraisers to help clean up the quarry. And, you know, again, typical cheesy 90s cliches. But they showed how you get involved. And sometimes the stories kind of work towards it. They dealt with jealousy and bad feelings. And sometimes you can, you know, not want to be part of something, but sometimes you just have to suck it up and do it and responsibly. Like, a lot of shit was cool for a show that, on the surface, didn't seem to be about that. One of the cool parts, when I revisited this show 2 years ago with my daughters, I have two young daughters, the coolest part about the show when you're watching it with them is that out of these five students, two of them are young girls, are teenage girls. And the coolest thing about the show is not once, very few times, but there really is never a situation where the girls are ever shown as being any less than the guys. Whenever there's a physical threat that appears, no one's telling the girls to, hey, you girls, stand behind me, I got you. There's nothing like that. The girls, you know, get defensive in their defensive martial arts stances, just like the guys, ready to take on whoever, however. No one says, you guys stay in the car and we got this, or you guys go take the hostage to safety. There's nothing like that. The girls will take on the bad guys as much as the guys, and it was really cool. But it was never an issue. Like, they didn't, that was not part of the social thing that they preached. That was just shown as is. Like, this is the norm. Which, again, like, Buffy recently did a 20th anniversary. They had a lot of the same sort of concepts. I mean, done a lot better than the Power Rangers, but a lot of similar concepts of the things in the show being allegory or metaphor for certain things that kids at the time dealt with in their similar lives. Divorce. I remember there's one show that dealt with, you know, parents breaking up and stuff. It was really cool for something that you don't expect from this show. Again, most of the footage was from the Japanese version. They couldn't reshoot. So the American teenagers did their things, and then the stuff in costume, or the stuff that was CGI with the robots, well, not CGI, puppets, I assume, were original footage from the Japanese version. So it was a crappy sort of situation, but the show somehow still was popular despite all that. The other thing, too, is, like I said, the cool stuff was, you know, they all had their own outfits. They had, you know, their own version of weapons, and it was cool because it was martial arts, and martial arts wasn't a thing that kids were really introduced to at the time. I mean, we had things like The Karate Kid. We had, you know, all these movies, the actual kung fu movies, which were amazing, but nothing in the format of young kids. I know I got into martial arts because of Power Rangers, not to get too personal here. But it's something that, like my kids are doing kung fu. I mean, independent of Power Rangers. I don't want to say my whole life is about Power Rangers, but my kids are doing martial arts because it's self-defense and that ideology. But I can't at the same time say that Power Rangers didn't play a part of that. In my own influencing of my own thoughts when it comes to martial arts and the philosophical aspects of the physical sport of martial arts. But again, this series kind of gives you those ideals that it's not being strong isn't about being strong in body, it's about being strong in mind, and so on and so on. So kind of all these things put together, when you first watch the Power Rangers, it doesn't seem like that. When you've heard of it, when you know about it, when you know someone's brother who used to watch it, you don't think about these things. But when you go through it, you kind of go, yeah, I guess it did have these things. So that was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 1990s in a nutshell. Since then, now, as I'm sure the Desi Geek Girls will attest to, there's been a lot of iterations of the Power Rangers in the comics. I think at this point there's a Justice League in the Power Rangers comics running, but there's been a lot of iterations of these characters in comics. Like I said, there was 2 theatrical movies before this latest one. However, there was one other iteration of these Power Rangers that's worth mentioning here. And I'm talking about the Adi Shankar's Bootleg Universe Power Rangers short film directed by Joseph Kahn. It will be in the show notes, as with everything else that I discuss. And what you're going to see is if you go onto YouTube, it's there, it's accessible, it's free. But what that version of the Power Rangers is basically is this hyper mature adult vulgar version of these kids classic, which a lot of people had problems with. It's a 14 minute short, talking about it, discusses and shows all the Power Rangers, all the characters that we're familiar with, obviously played by different more grown-up actors. It creates this mini little world right off the bat. The graphics are amazing. The fight scenes are amazing. The coolest part has to be the fact that Katie Sackhoff is in this iteration as the Pink Ranger, which is badass. Katie Sackhoff is Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica, for people who don't know. And if you don't know, go watch Battlestar Galactica for the love of God, again, after this show ends. And the other guy in the short, the kind of, I guess you want to say, bad guy, is our very own Dawson from Dawson's Creek, James Vanderbeek, who's amazing in it. Both of them are amazing in it. And the other cool part is that he helped write it. James Vanderbeek actually wrote it with the director and someone else. So check that short out. This is the only kind of version of Power Rangers worth mentioning. But now let's get into the new movie, the new 2017 Power Rangers reboot. And before we get into that, let's just quickly talk about, like I said, it's straightforward premise. It's 5 kids get superpowers, become superheroes, fighting to save the world from this evil person named Rita Repulsa. Now, everything I just told you guys about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original TV series, for everything that show did, the one thing it didn't really do, and again, because the world they created was a happy, good, clean, fun, kid-friendly sort of a universe where bad things happen, but that at the end of the day, good still prevailed. One of the things that was highly unrealistic is the fact that you have these 5 kids, teenagers with attitudes, each from different diversity backgrounds. They're, different, cultures, different upbringings, different personality types. And these are all cliches and tropes that we've seen 100 times since then and before then even. We've seen the Asian girl who's, all spiritual and stuff. Let's address the elephant in the room. First of all, there was a sort of level of subtle racism going on with the Power Rangers of the 90s and the assignment of their colors that each ranger had. Like I said, they had primary basic colors, red, blue, white, green, yellow, that sort of thing, black. The crazy part was that the Red Ranger, who was the leader, because of course, happened to be a white guy. Upon closer inspection, he could possibly be Native American. We don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like the show did give us glimpses into that he was a Native American. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not going to kind of say that I know for sure. But he gave off very sort of Native American vibes. And he was the Red Ranger. So the Black Ranger, you guessed it, was a black guy. And then things get a little bit more horrible as we go. The Yellow Ranger was an Asian girl. The Blue Ranger was a blonde white guy with blue eyes. And lastly, the Pink Ranger was a, not blonde, but sort of a Valley Girl cheerleader. So, not a lot of thought put into the color assignments, or some would argue too much thought put into the color assignments. But at the end of the day, like I said, what it comes down to is the characters. Again, just kind of putting that aside a little bit, not shoving it under the rug, but just kind of, you know, let's say it was an honest mistake. Yeah, right. These personalities, these kids were essentially, like I said, the Asian girl is all spiritual and calm and collected. You've got the red leader who's all, you know, who's a jock. He's big, he's muscular. He looks like a jock. He's all into martial arts, he's competitions, he's the jock cool guy. You've got the Blue Ranger who's the nerd, who's complete sci-fi geek. He builds stuff. He shouldn't be in high school. He should be in MIT somewhere. That kind of a character personality. You've got, like I said, cheerleader, valley girl sort of relationship. And then you've got the black guy, Zach, the black guy, who's all into hip-hop. He's into martial arts, too, but it's more acrobatic, and it's more, you know, think Fresh Prince, okay? But this group, this diverse group of Rangers, are supposed to be friends in the show. And we're supposed to take that at face value. And you never once think about the fact that knowing how high schools are, especially in the 90s, actually of any generation, that there's cliques and there's, you know, people hang out with like-minded people, let's say, you know, not to take away from it. But it was always a little off that, you know, that there's no sort of, like, reality isn't like this. You know, these five people can't just, you know, I mean, they can. I'm not saying that this is a requirement, and I'm sure everyone has different experiences of you know, their high school lives. But mostly, you know, something has to either bring these people together or there should be some sort of common thread. But these guys were always just hanging out with one another. And it was kind of the only thing, even after I got to high school and I noticed that life isn't really like that, that was the kind of only thing that kind of bugged me about this, you know, depiction. But I'm glad to say the new movie addresses this. The new movie does put together kids that are from different backgrounds, are racially diverse, but thank God not racially color assigned, because that was just terrible. But there's a reason why they come together. And at the end of the day, this movie does a much better job of putting the kids together, simply because, and this was a surprising part, that the story, much, you know, as much it is about the giant robots and the flashy costumes and the powers and the cool martial arts, what the 2017 Power Rangers reboot does, and does successfully, is that it makes the story about the characters. The entire story in the beginning and the middle is on these kids. It's on these cast of actors portraying these very likable characters. And for the longest time, that's all we get in this movie, which is the best possible thing that could happen to this movie. So coming back to the movie itself, let's talk about how they've updated these cast of characters. The Red Ranger, like I mentioned, hey, still a white guy, but, you know, let's pick our battles. Jason, who is the leader, essentially is a high school jock. He is the football player, and essentially a prank, a typical, you know, high school prank essentially gets him caught, car accident, wrecked, cops get involved, and he basically is in detention for the rest of his high school life if he wants to even have a future. Down and out, you know, protege, you know, high school football protege, town's bright shining hope, small dinky mining town, all gone in an instant because he screwed up. He goes into detention. He finds himself meeting another kid, socially oblivious, definitely has some sort of a learning disorder. He does mention it in the movie, but I didn't kind of quite catch it. But easily you can tell he has something similar to, you know, Asperger's or some sort of a learning disability. Super smart, doesn't have any problems whatsoever. It doesn't affect him. Very high functioning, so it works out. But quirky, funny, great. Essentially, the heart and soul of the movie is Billy, which is the Blue Ranger, played in this movie by RJ Seiler, who is the best performance of the whole movie itself. So Jason and Billy meet. And essentially, with his tech-savvy nature, he suggests that he's going to help out Jason by taking off his, you know, police-mandated ankle monitor. But he has to help him carry some stuff up to the mountain, to the mines, where he used to go with his dad, who passed away recently, and that's how he likes spending his time, for whatever reason. We never get into that. We never get into why Billy's digging around in the mine. I mean, there's blurbs about how, oh, he likes it because it was a favorite pastime with his dad. That's all we get, though. But anyways, at the mine, Jason runs into troubled cheerleader Kimberly Hart, who also happens to be in detention simply due to the fact that she got in trouble. She did something terrible that we don't find out until later. But he runs into her. They discuss, they have a moment where they talk about their troubled lives and wanting to get away from it all, until an explosion rocks them into consciousness and back to reality. And they find out that Billy blew up a part of the rock, which also attracts nearby, well, looks like a homeless guy, also a teenager. They're all the same age, mind you. Zach, who shows up. There's this other drifter, social, crazy girl who shows up as well. And these five kids are now in the same place going, what the hell did you do? You blew up a rock. And they find these power coins. And that's where the story starts, and that's what the story is about. But the coolest part, like I keep saying, is this story is about these five kids. They don't, thankfully, focus too much on the craziness. They don't focus too much on the giant robots and the monster fights and things like that. And it almost feels like the movie knows. It almost feels like the director, Dean Israelite, knows that those elements are the ones that are going to be the most laughable, that they're going to be the most criticized. So the entire movie, he focuses on this group of characters, their friendship, their coming together. There's an amazing training montage, which it makes sense because you're like, oh, a Power Rangers movie, they should have a training montage. They earn it. Whatever flashy, gimmicky, toy-selling, you know, CGI extravaganza we get by the third act, the characters earn it. They spend the majority of the movie earning that, which is why it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel cheesy. It feels very well earned. The emotional arc of the characters are amazing. The trio that stand out are Jason, Billy, and Kimberly. The other two are... they don't have much to do, but everyone gets their own moment, so it's amazing. And that's it. That's the Power Rangers in a nutshell. The movie realizes that it needs to be lighthearted. It needs to be funny. And it is. In great moments, it's really funny. But I am going to say this. First of all, I recommend this movie obviously, if you're a Power Rangers fan, you're going to watch this thing. If you're not a Power Rangers fan, I have this to say to you. Whether or not you like this movie is going to be based on managing your expectations. Now, I'm saying managing your expectations. I don't mean don't expect much from this movie and you'll like it. I'm not saying don't expect a lot and you'll hate it. What I'm saying is managing your expectations. Despite being a hardcore Power Rangers fan, trying to be objective here, despite being a hardcore Power Rangers fan, I went into this movie thinking, I'm just going to have fun. It's going to be a crazy, stupid, ridiculous adventure with crazy things happening, and I'm just gonna have fun. I'm not gonna dig too deep. I'm not gonna go anywhere beyond skin deep. That's what it's gonna be. To put it into context, what I expect from a Transformers movie, although those have begun to enrage me now, or a G.I. Joe movie, or a Ninja Turtles movie. That kind of a film, where you just go in, it's a blockbuster, things happen, you laugh a little harder at jokes that you should have, and that's it. And you walk out and go, hey, that was cool. 6 months later, you don't remember what the hell happened in that movie. That's what I'm expecting from Power Rangers when I walked in. What I came out of was a movie that tried. The writer tried. The director tried. And I'm not saying they tried and failed. They tried, and it was good. Is it the best? No. If you look at my review, and I'm going to link everything I'm discussing today in my show notes, so check that out on blankpagebeatdown.com. But in my actual written review, I do mention that I do give it a 3 out of 5 stars, because it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not something you're going to have to watch. It's not something that you're going to miss if you don't watch. But at the end of the day, it's good enough that you should check it out. You should definitely check it out. And again, like I said, managing expectations. If you're expecting to have fun, mindless fun, you'll be pleasantly surprised, because this movie goes well beyond that. The writer, actually, is John Gattins. And to give you an idea of what Power Rangers does with this story and with this construct, we're now in an age where we're showered, we're just inundated with the superhero movie, the formulaic superhero movies. Every movie tries to stand out and be something different than every other superhero movie. Some fail, some pass, some you go, all right, I'll take it, it's there. But not a lot. You know, not a lot of movies can really change it all up. They can't flip the script. They can't upend the table, because, again, it's a genre. It's a limited sort of storytelling range. You have a formula. You got story beats you got to hit. You got plot points you got to go through. With Power Rangers, not that I'm saying it does flip the script. What it does, though, very successfully, is it applies the underdog team sports movie model to the superhero movie model. And that blend, and that mishmash is done so amazingly. Like I was mentioning, the writer, John Gattins, he's the writer of movies like Coach Carter and one of the most underrated sports movies ever, starring Keanu Reeves, Hardball. So when you look at his credits and you look at what this movie is, you understand. I understand. I'm not saying you have to understand. I'm not telling you anything you should do. Watch, don't watch, I don't care. But what I'm trying to say is what this movie does is it applies two separate genres into one. It's these kids, these characters of the heart and soul. The movie obviously has to go through the obligatory motions of, you know, it's Morphin time and Zords and fighting and, oh my God, look what I'm doing. I'm in a robot, blah. It does those things. It has to do those things because that's what the movie's about. And let's be real, that's what's going to sell toys. But if you go beyond that, it's still fun. It's enjoyable as hell. And they really tried to make a movie that was more character-driven, that there was more soul to it than just flashy, you know, body, that there's just a lot more to this movie than meets the eye. I recommend it. Good fun. Let's get those sequels made, guys. Let's make this a franchise. Week 2, this weekend will be weekend number 2. Check it out. I know Beauty and the Beast is still there. I know we're all going to want to watch that too. I know I'm going to go watch it at one point. But check this out if you've got nothing else to do. If you've already seen Beauty and the Beast, check this out. Why not? There's nothing else going on in April. Nothing is coming out until Guardians that require our attention. Let's watch some Power Rangers. Let's get the global box office up there so we can guarantee those sequels. Just do it for me, please, please. but that's basically it. That's the show. That is the remake of the Power Rangers. Again, something I just had to jump on, share with you guys because it's something that I love. And I just want to tell you, it's really not a bad movie. It's not a terrible movie. I know it looks like a terrible movie, but it's not a terrible movie. It's actually a good movie. So check out the Power Rangers. It's playing right now in theaters everywhere globally, or should be at least. If it's not, don't complain to me. I don't have anything to do with that. But thank you so much for listening. Do come back. This was the Split Screen Podcast, episode 27. You can go back and listen to all our past episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Any other sort of podcasting app you can kind of come up with. We're probably there. Please leave me a review and rating on iTunes like the super cool Aaron Fraser did. You'll have it read on the air, even if it's bad. I maintain this. Even if you give me a bad review, I will read it on the air and try to address your concerns. At the end of the day, I'm not the type of person who wants to seek out validation. Anyways, so leave me a feedback and review and rating. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. The show notes to this show, and if you don't have a mobile device, you can go onto my website, www.blankpagebeatdown.com, to get all the show notes and listen directly from your browser or download an audio file. You can follow me personally on Twitter at TheShahShahid. We're on Facebook as well. facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. And that's basically our show. So thank you so much for listening. I do have some things lined up. So it might take a bit of time, but I'm going to come back with some new episodes, some new conversations, some new guests, I hope. I'm looking at you, Daisy Geek Girls. But we'll be back. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com.